a seventh straight trip to the AFC Championship. And the Patriots will stage it right here at Gillette next week.
Well, it's certainly not a surprise that the Patriots are in the AFC Championship game. It's the seventh consecutive year. However, their opponent in the AFC Championship game is surprising. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars and not the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, January 15th. I'm Chris Gasper, and welcome to Season Ticket. To help me break down this AFC Championship game matchup, we now bring in Boston Globe senior NFL writer Ben Volen. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, Chris. New year, same stuff for the Patriots. Seven straight AFC Championship games. A feat, 12 out of 16 for Brady and Belichick.
That's amazing.
That will never be duplicated again.
Yeah, it's incredible. We do sort of take it for granted. Some folks, like our good friend Dan Shaughnessy, would say, though, that they got the old double bye to the AFC Championship game. They got there. They did have to play a game, technically. Saturday night, they destroyed the Tennessee Titans 35-14 at Gillette Stadium. What were your takeaways from that game, Ben?
My takeaways were that I thought the game would be a lot closer, so you have to give the Patriots a lot of credit. And the Titans came out and kind of punched them in the mouth a little bit, but they wilted pretty quickly in the cold. And then once the Patriots, the avalanche started coming down the hill there, 21 points in the second quarter.
Fine, little shuffle pass to White, and he dives across for the touchdown. White breaks outside. James White with his second touchdown of the quarter. So now the 16th play of the drive, third and goal. Back of the end zone, and it's caught by Hogan for the touchdown.
Plus, you lose your right tackle, Jack Conklin, to a torn ACL. You know, Coach Malarkey said after the game that Marcus Mariota had a strained quad. So I don't know if that's excuse-making or not, but maybe Mariota didn't quite have the mobility that the Patriots were expecting. So great defensive performance from the Patriots, no question. I thought that was kind of the story of the night. Not the greatest pass rush in the world, and they still come away with eight sacks against a very mobile quarterback. So, you know, nice job by the defense. And now the offense is getting healthier, too. They're getting James White back. Chris Hogan still didn't have a big impact. Rex Burkhead reportedly is going to play this Sunday against Jacksonville. So the Patriots are kind of rounding into form here.
Yeah, Ben, the Titans obviously weren't buying any of Mike Malarkey's excuses because they fired him today as head coach, despite that vote of confidence he got from owner Amy Adams Strunk after they beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs. What's interesting about this from a Patriots standpoint, though, is this would be an ideal landing spot for Josh McDaniels.
Absolutely. I think right now we were all looking at McDaniels potentially going to Indianapolis to work with Andrew Luck, but you know, I don't think the Titans are getting rid of Malarkey today if they don't think they have a shot at landing McDaniels. I think they wanted to test the waters a little bit, and so I think absolutely the Titans might even be a better situation. He obviously knows the GM well, and John Robinson, former Patriot. And look, obviously, in a vacuum, you take Andrew Luck over Marcus Mariota, but I think there are some real concerns about Luck's shoulder and where he's moving, you know, how he's going to look moving forward. There's already one report that the Bears' new coach, Matt Nagy, the Colts wanted him, but he backed out because he wasn't so sure about Luck's shoulder. So now if you're Josh McDaniels, you look at it, you know, Marcus Mariota has a lot of potential there. They've got a pretty good young roster, certainly on offense. They need to retool the defense a little bit. But absolutely, I think Josh McDaniels is going to be in play for the Titans. And there are already reports, we all pretty much know, that Matt Patricia is going to Detroit. So this is kind of the swan song here for the Patriots coordinators.
Also, I thought Danny Amendola really stepped up in this game. 11 receptions, 112 yards on 13 targets. That was sort of the Danny Amendola I was looking for all year long with Julian Edelman out, and I think that's the Danny Amendola they need in the playoffs with Edelman out. His ability to uncover quickly and move the chains I thought was big.
Mr. Clutch, that's Danny Amendola. If there's a big third down or you're in the red zone, he comes up with a big play, and 11 catches, that's got to be close to a career high for him. He's not usually a high-volume guy like that. So remember last year's Super Bowl, he had 8 for 78 and a touchdown, and the big two-point conversion. I mean, Amendola is not going to be Edelman. He's not going to be that consistent, you know, 10-catch-a-week performer. But the guy's clutch, and, you know, he's really just on the same wavelength as Tom Brady right now, which is so important. We saw in some of those broken-down plays where Tom Brady kind of had to schoolyard it a little bit. And, you know, Brady's not there with Brandon Cooks right now. He's not there with some of those other receivers. Chris Hogan's not all the way back. But him and Amendola are on the same wavelength, and The Patriots really need a guy like him because, you know, opposing defenses are going to be able to take away Gronk a little bit. They're going to take away James White and Deion Lewis. So you need a guy like Amendola to step up, and he always does.
Yeah, I know. He was huge, and I thought Pro Football Focus had some interesting numbers about the damage he did out of the slot. He had 10 catches out of the slot for 106 yards, and he was great there. And I think they're going to need that against Jacksonville because Jacksonville led the NFL in sacks. They can get to the quarterback quickly, and the easiest way to mitigate that is to be able to get rid of the ball quickly. So Tennessee, obviously, Ben, was not a challenge for the Patriots. I think we all know that. I didn't expect it to be a challenge. Maybe you expected it to be a little bit more of a challenge. I just didn't think it would be, and I think if you told the Patriots before the season started, you have to beat Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles to get to the Super Bowl, they would take it. That being said, will Jacksonville present a bigger challenge for the Patriots than Tennessee did?
Yeah, no question. Their defense is a lot more stout than what the Titans offer. Big playability. We saw it yesterday. They scored another defensive touchdown against the Steelers. They were actually second in the league in sacks. I was surprised by that. I thought they led the league. But
I did too, actually.
I think at the end of the year, they tailed off and They still had 55 sacks, pretty incredible number there. And they can get after you with Dante Fowler and Ngakoue and obviously Calais Campbell. They don't have to blitz. They can bring pressure up the middle, around the edges. And they have a very physical secondary, which has given the Patriots some problems too. A.J. Boye, Jalen Ramsey. It's going to be a tough sledding for Hogan and Brandon Cooks. It's going to be another game, I think, of tight ends and running backs. That's going to have to be the key for the Patriots offense, is getting Gronk open, getting James White and Deion Lewis involved in the passing game. And it might be another game where Brady might have to throw it 60 times, but it's all the short passes again. He can't afford to stand in the pocket and wait for guys to get open because the Jaguars are going to eat him alive.
So the Jaguars were number one in the NFL in pass defense, and they beat Pittsburgh on Sunday in a thriller 45-42. And you look at that game, and Pittsburgh had talked a lot about a rematch with the Patriots. You had Mike Mitchell talking about, we can beat the Patriots anywhere. We can beat them in Haiti. You know, we'll beat them at Gillette. Obviously, that didn't materialize there. The obsession the Steelers have with the Patriots, I think, was sort of their undoing. But then you have Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey talking about the Jaguars and where they stand in the playoffs. And he has a lot of confidence, too.
I ain't got too much to say, but y'all make sure y'all bring that same energy out here next week and the week after. We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that.
So the Jags here are not backing down at all from the Patriots. They're sort of making the same mistake, I think, when you're talking about Ramsey saying, we're going to the Super Bowl and all that. But do they have maybe some more reason to be confident? You sort of touched on it, Ben. They do have the components to slow down Tom Brady. A great pass rush. They can get there with the front four, and then elite cornerback play with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye. And I also think they have very good safety play, too. Tayshawn Gibson back there as well, and really speedy linebackers. We saw that on Sunday. Myles Jack, Telvin Smith, who brought the Ben Roethlisberger fumble back for a touchdown. Paul Posluszny has been a very good linebacker in this league for a while. So they have some of the ingredients you would need to slow down the Patriots. On the other hand, though, they just gave up 5 touchdowns and 469 yards to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Roethlisberger kind of carved him up.
Yeah, he did.
And Jimmy Garoppolo kind of carved him up a little bit a few weeks ago, too. The Niners put up 40-something points on the Jaguars out in San Francisco. The Jaguars, you know, their defense is, you know, deserves all the credit in the world. It's a fantastic unit. But the Jaguars' offense, I don't think, you know, pulls its end of the bargain either. They did a great job of jumping out to that big early lead, and then they held on for dear life. And I just don't see them being able to replicate that. No one jumps out to a 21-0 lead on the Patriots. That just doesn't happen. Even if, you know, at most they come out and it's 14-0, that's still plenty of time for Brady and the Patriots to come back. And, you know, Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette, just they don't have enough firepower on offense with Bortles running the show there. They were able to get by on smoke and mirrors a little bit against the Steelers. But, you know, in the fourth quarter when they had to get points, they weren't able to do it until the Steelers gift-wrapped it to them. And,
with the onside
with
kick.
The onside
yeah,
kick.
Basically said, here's a field goal.
Totally.
Which ended up being the difference in the game.
So the Jaguars' defense is great, no doubt. But, you know, we've seen this movie before. And I just don't see how Blake Bortles and that offense, you know, they might be able to run the ball and control the clock, but they don't have any explosion. And Bortles is almost non-functional, I would say, as a pocket passer. So it's going to take a lot of gimmicks and a lot of luck for the Jaguars this weekend.
Do you think that Tom Brady gives his good pal Jimmy Garoppolo a call and ask for some tips on the Jacksonville Jaguars?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know about Brady. Maybe Josh McDaniels does. Maybe he picks his brain a little bit. I'm sure they're
Well, it's
going...
more interesting if it's Brady talking to Jimmy, right?
Exactly. You know, is
the Wolfpack reunited.
That, where's that relationship stand?
Yeah, wouldn't we like
on
to know?
Who you ask, you know? I'm sure they're going back and watching that game film. It's very relevant just from a few weeks ago. And, you know, those West Coast games are a little tough for the East Coast teams, but. You know, all the credit in the world to the Jaguars. We're going to spend the next few days probably bashing them and denigrating them and talking about how they're not a worthy foe. But to this turnaround they've had this year under Doug Marrone, obviously Tom Coughlin at the top, Bortles had a really nice bounce back year. You know, good offensive line, great defense. For the Jaguars to be in this AFC Championship game, I mean, you would have made a lot of money if you bet on that at the beginning of the season.
Oh, no question.
So, you know, good for them. And just reaching this far is a heck of a season for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to the Patriots preseason opener against the Jaguars, and did anybody back then think, oh, this is an AFC Championship game preview? And it was Jimmy Garoppolo who played quarterback that night, actually, for the Patriots, it being the preseason, obviously. In terms of Jacksonville, so it sounds like you have respect for them, but you don't think it's realistic for them to come in here and beat the Patriots. Do you think there's any way, though, they could come in and do, you know, what they did to the Steelers, and I don't mean the 21-0 thing, but basically they ran the ball at will early in that game. And I know that run defense has been an area of concern this year for the Patriots. Do you think there's any way Jacksonville can come in and do what they did to the Steelers and just be able to run the football against the Patriots at will?
I do not think so. I think the Steelers were very unprepared for that game and came out incredibly flat. And
there's a shocker.
I can't believe you know, Mike Tomlin isn't on the hot seat right now for that performance. And in any other city, he would be. But the Patriots' run defense was excellent against the Titans. They really shut down Derrick Henry. Fournette's a similar type of runner, a little more speed than Henry,
yes,
but more of a power back. And I thought Malcolm Brown, Lawrence Guy, Trey Flowers, those guys were excellent in run defense. James Harrison, really solid, setting the edge again. Kyle Van Noy is healthy. So I think the Patriots, they're going to load up the front, you know, not let Leonard Fournette beat you. And, you know, the thing that was key for the Jaguars is they had a lot of third and fives yesterday. They pounded with Leonard Fournette and put Blake Bortles in those manageable situations. I think the Patriots are going to be able to keep them in a lot of third and nines and third and tens, and you know, then make Blake Bortles make a play from the pocket. So they're going to load up on the run defense, and I think they're going to do much better than the Steelers defense did yesterday.
And what about the mobility factor of Bortles? Because that is something that's really helped him. I mean, in the first playoff game, he had more yards rushing than he did passing when they were able to beat the Buffalo Bills. He made some plays yesterday with his legs. Is that a concern? Because the Patriots have had some issues with mobile quarterbacks, and he can push the ball down the field, and they do have some talented receivers. Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, Keelan Cole has been a revelation for them as a rookie. The other rookie, D.D. Westbrook. We saw our rookie Corey Davis score the first touchdown for the Titans against the Patriots. Any concern there that when stuff breaks down with Bortles' mobility, that he can create some big plays?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's an issue, and I think the Patriots will probably have to employ a similar defense like they did against the Titans, where they had Marquise Flowers and Kyle Van Noy kind of spying Mariota for most of the night. Mariota only had four runs. He gained 30-something yards, but he only escaped four times. And some of the spying led to sacks. I remember one play specifically, Kyle Van Noy was spying him in the middle, and Mariota had nowhere to run, and he was a sitting duck for Adam Butler for the big sack. So, you know, Bortles can make plays with his feet. It's more, he doesn't scramble to throw. He scrambles just to bail out of the pocket and to pick up yards with his feet, and he can. He's a good athlete. So you probably have to spy him a little bit, but, you know, they have good talent. Marquise Lee, you mentioned, really good speedy receiver. But, you know, the Patriots are going to make Bortles one-dimensional, and again, I just don't see how he's able to be function against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
They'll take a page out of the book of Tennessee Titans safety Kevin Byard. He said he wanted to make Tom Brady look like Blake Bortles. I think the Patriots will make Blake Bortles look like Blake Bortles. All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we're going to act like the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to look ahead beyond this game against the Jacksonville Jaguars and see what the Final Four in the NFL has in store for the Patriots. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, we're back now with Boston Globe senior NFL writer Ben Volen. And Ben, it's interesting, when you look at the final four here in the NFL, you have the Patriots, the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC, and then in the NFC, it's the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Minnesota Vikings. And I think the common denominator here is not quarterback play. Tom Brady is head and shoulders above the rest of these quarterbacks, but it's scoring defense. You're looking at scoring defense being a huge factor in this final four. Minnesota led the league. Jacksonville was second. Philadelphia was fourth. The Patriots were fifth. So those are all teams in the top five. So is there a little bit of a shift this year towards defense? Because I don't think anybody thought teams quarterbacked by Nick Foles, Case Keenum, and Blake Bortles would be in the final four.
Yeah, it's kind of a nightmare scenario for the NFL here. Do they want Tom Brady in this game, because if it's Blake Bortles versus Nick Foles or Case Keenum.
Oh, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, 345 Park Avenue. That's what you want, yeah. NFL headquarters. I know that's what you want in this year of declining ratings. What says NFL like Blake Bortles versus Case Keenum in the Super Bowl?
I call that the Bizarro Super Bowl on Twitter, and I've gotten about 200 angry responses from Patriots fans saying, how could you, and leave Boston. So, but I think a Bizarro Super Bowl would be great, you know, Bortles versus Keenum. But, yeah, obviously. Defense, what's the cliche, wins championships?
Yes.
I didn't just make that up. That's actually been said for a while. But what's interesting about the NFL this year is offense is way down. I've written about it the last couple weeks in my Sunday notes. Scoring was way down. Passing, passer rating, pass attempts across the board was down this year in several different metrics. And I think, you know, we're seeing the result of that now. The Eagles, obviously, they didn't get to this point on the back of their... They had Carson Wentz.
Yes. So, an MVP candidate until he went down against the Rams.
Totally. And so for people, you know, I love, you know, this notion that, Nick Foles still got the Eagles to this... No, he didn't. Carson Wentz did 90% of the heavy lifting. And, you know, give Foles credit. He's kind of kept this team afloat. But it's obviously the Eagles won that game against the Falcons the other day on the strength of their defense, only giving up 10 points. But we talk about scoring defense. The Jaguars just gave up 42. That Viking Saints game was 29-24, and Drew Brees put up all 24 of those points in the last like 18 minutes of the game. So you're still seeing at the end of the year offense and quarterbacks winning out, but maybe we're just not giving enough credit to these guys like Case Keenum and Blake Bortles. They're putting up points and they're leading their teams to victory. Although Keenum sure got away with a couple of throws off his back foot, throwing some ducks. One of them was intercepted. A few of them, several more probably should have, and he's not going to get away with that against the Eagles.
No, he's certainly not, and obviously the Vikings had a miraculous win in Minnesota yesterday with Keenum's last throw of the game.
Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side, caught by Diggs.
Stay up!
Oh, he got loose!
Oh, my God!
30!
No! 10!
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
What a miracle finish! It's a Minneapolis miracle! Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle.
So I thought he got away with that one, too. Wasn't the greatest throw in the world, and I don't think they would have been able to kick a field goal, but the Saints made a huge error there and weren't able to tackle Stephon Diggs. But you hit on a great point, Ben. When you look at this Final Four, and these defenses are good, but elite quarterbacking was able to sort of supersede that defense. You're right about Roethlisberger against Jacksonville and then Drew Brees against Minnesota. So if you're the Patriots and you have the only elite quarterback left, even though I really like that Minnesota defense, I like the way they play, they have a lot of speed, and I think Mike Zimmer's a really good coach, I'd feel pretty good, you know, about Tom Brady going up against that defense. Of course, the X factor would be, this is what's incredible, in back-to-back years, right, the Patriots could play in the first overtime Super Bowl and the first Super Bowl where you have a team that is participating in the Super Bowl playing on their home field, which would be the case if Minnesota beats Philadelphia and advances to Super Bowl 52, which is in Minneapolis.
Yeah, when we're talking about what the NFL wants and storylines and how to sell the game, certainly it's Patriots-Vikings. With Tom Brady on one sideline and the Vikings playing the home Super Bowl on the other, that would be awesome. I mean, we'll be in Minnesota all week. Think of how many, you know, usually the Super Bowl, it's a very corporate crowd. I think the participating teams each only get like 18 to 20% of the tickets, and everyone else, it's corporate sponsors. But, you know, with Minnesota fans not having to spend money on flights and hotels, they're just going to flood the secondary market. And, you know, what do they care if they have to spend a little more on a ticket?
It's a ticket of a lifetime.
Absolutely. So it's going to be a road game for the Patriots. What's most interesting is, so if the Vikings do make it, it messes things up logistically. Right now, the AFC team is supposed to be the home team in the Super Bowl. They get to choose their jerseys. They practice at the Vikings facility, stand on the Vikings sideline, use the Vikings locker room. But if the Vikings make it, then obviously the NFL is going to switch. Then the Patriots would practice at the University of Minnesota. So the Vikings would be in their home locker room and use all their facilities, but they would still be the road team. And I'm not sure they would get to use that big Viking horn at their stadium too. So anyway, a home Super Bowl would be awesome. And the NFL is certainly not rooting for Jaguars versus Eagles, I'll tell you that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, that would be a little tough, you know, for the NFL here. When you look at the NFC title game between those two teams, Philadelphia and Minnesota, who do you see coming out victorious in that game?
I like the Vikings. I think they have the defense to match. I'm not sure. Or the Falcons were a very flawed team when they played the Eagles last week, and I think the Vikings are much more buttoned up. Nick Foles is going to have a heck of a time going up against the Vikings defense. And, you know, the Eagles are great, too. We've spent a lot of time here talking about it. But I think Case Keenum and that offense, Latavius Murray, Adam Thielen's phenomenal.
Thielen's had a tremendous year.
Fantastic. Tremendous. So I think the Vikings go on the road, get it done. Then again, the Vikings have been kind of cursed in the playoffs. Maybe they finally overcame that with that huge win yesterday. But their playoff history is a little bit cursed. So anytime they look like the favorite, they generally step on their toes. But I like the Vikings in this one. And, you know, skull all the way. Let's get that home
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, that skull chant. So, all right, again, we're going to pull up Mike Mitchell, Jalen Ramsey here, and fast forward through games that have not been completed yet. So we're saying it'll be Patriots-Vikings. And how would you see that game playing out? The Vikings, to me, are an interesting team matching up with the Patriots because, like Atlanta last year, I think they have a lot of speed, and I think they might be able to sort of condense and defend the field horizontally against the Patriots, which is what Atlanta was able to do, you know, for basically three quarters until they wore down. And then also, they have the receivers. You mentioned Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs had the big catch yesterday. They have some old friend Michael Floyd's not great, but, you know, he can make a play as a big body, and Jarius Wright. They also have Kyle Rudolph at tight end, so they have the weapons there. I think they're the team in the NFC that would match up best with the Patriots, and with some home field advantage there, I think that would be a tough task for the Patriots.
No doubt. That'd be a very difficult matchup for the Patriots. As you mentioned, the Vikings have a lot of speed on defense. They can get after you with just their front four. They
Great
don't have
point.
To blitz. I think we underestimate the Vikings offense, too, because
we
look at Case Keenum and say, oh, it's Case Keenum, but they have a lot of talent around him, no question. And all the guys you mentioned, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, Latavius Murray. So I think the Vikings would be a very difficult matchup, and I might pick the Vikings in that game. Just I think their defensive speed might be a little too much for the Patriots to overcome.
And the other thing they have that will help you against the Patriots, and I thought you made a great point there about, you know, being able to rush the passer with just four. They can do that. Everson Griffin, a great pass rusher there. But they have great safety play, too, led by Harrison Smith. And that's been something in the past. I think of, like, Eric Weddle with the Ravens. You know, obviously when Ed Reed played for the Ravens, if you have strong safety play, that gives you a chance against Brady.
Yeah, Harrison Smith is right up there with Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, some of those great safeties of the past. He can do it all. You know, bring him down in the box, stop the run, rush the passer, or a great coverage guy, great center fielder. Vikings have a very good defense, and I know the Saints kind of carved them up yesterday, but these are, you know, again, different circumstances, different teams. The Vikings are going to be a tough challenge for the Patriots.
Yeah, and even when they carved him up, Ben, it was Alvin Kamara, who is a very unique player in the NFL, the running back from the Saints, who basically is like a receiver. And, you know, James White can do some of that stuff, but he's not as explosive as Kamara is. And then Michael Thomas is great as sort of a big-bodied wide receiver. When you look at the Patriots, like, you know, who's that guy who's a big-bodied wide receiver? Gronk's a tight end. You know, he's a lot of times in the middle of the field, sometimes a little easier to cover. I don't see Kenny Britt doing that stuff. Which brings me to this sort of point. How concerned are you about Brandon Cooks?
Well, I mean, you've heard me all year. I've been not the biggest Brandon Cooks fan.
Yeah.
To me, I liken him to Dave Kingman. A lot of home runs and a lot of whiffs, you know? Hits 40 bombs and hits 237. The other day, what was he, like 3 for 8 on targets? I mean, you have
three for nine.
There
yeah,
you go.
3 for 9.
And definitely not all his fault. Like, some of that's on Brady. Some of it's just chucking it up.
But they did not look in sync.
No, and he doesn't get separation, and he's not even your secondary option. He's your third option. He's, you know, kind of, I don't want to say a gimmick player, but he's a one-trick pony. He goes deep, and he brings in the long ball, and that's been a valuable part of the offense this year. But I expected more out of him, especially for a first-round pick, especially for a guy that they're going to pay supposedly $8.5 million next year. I'd keep an eye on that. not the biggest Brandon Cooks guy. And again, I think that he's going to have a real tough go at it against the Jaguars this week, who have some physical corners.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a prove-it game for Cooks. I'm not as down on him as you are. I thought he had a good year for what they asked him to do. I thought they brought him in with the assumption that Julian Edelman was still going to be the number one receiver, be sure. on the team, be able to do a lot of the underneath stuff, and they wanted him to stretch the field vertically. He's done that, but when you take Edelman away, there's more pressure on him to make the short and intermediate catches. That's not a strength of his game. You're 100% right about that. But I think in the playoffs now, look, you have who you have. Julian Edelman's not coming back. Whether it's a strength of Cooks' game or not, he has to do better than he did against Tennessee. And he has to be able to get open and get some separation, as you said, and be a reliable guy on third down, be a reliable guy on some of these intermediate routes to keep the chains moving, because I think that's what you need against defenses like Jacksonville and Minnesota. And when you look at Roethlisberger, he did have that big game, but some of those throws were fourth down heaves to guys like Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. I don't know if you can duplicate that if you're the Patriots.
Did the Steelers not have like four of the most incredible touchdowns you've ever seen yesterday? Like heaving and chucking it up on fourth down. And
Antonio Brown is just unbelievable.
Yeah, just
I mean, ridiculous. He might be the best player in the league. It's unreal. And what he did, not 100% on that cap. I have to go. I'm going to go on a quick diatribe here. I'm sorry. I think that Steelers team is the most talented team in the NFL. It is a disgrace that they underachieved. What a waste of talent with Mike Tomlin. I think that is the worst situational football team I have ever seen. I could not believe the way they performed under pressure. If you gave Bill Belichick that team, they are Super Bowl champions going away.
They're 16-0 every year with Bill Belichick.
I mean, they have so much talent. What a waste. I mean, it worked out for the Patriots because I think they're a tougher opponent than Jacksonville would be, and I'd always rather face the team that does not have the elite quarterback. But just from a strictly objective football standpoint, taking the Patriots out of it, it is like maddening to see a team with that much talent underachieve. What a train wreck the Steelers were this year.
Can I, to switch course real quick, I just want to leave us with a stat heading into the week.
Yeah.
The Patriots, after beating the Titans, they're now 14-0 in the playoffs under Brady and Belichick against teams that they didn't face in the regular season. So when they're playing
great
the playoff
stat.
Team for the first time, and that applies to the Jaguars. So 14-0, they've never lost to an opponent like this.
All right, another stat in favor of the Patriots. They're big-time favorites against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. Ben, thanks for stopping by Season Ticket.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.